Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius. Dramaticus is here. We're in Londinium, a cup of wine by the Thames, a little chilly, winter coming on. However, the centurions have gone home and we're not reading poetry. We're discussing the 21st century. Compelling now because of headlines we always knew were coming. We've been impatient for months. Dramaticus, I read from the Daily Telegraph, London reporting. These are hawks reporting. Zelensky says he needs NATO guarantees before entering peace talks with Putin. Subhead, Ukraine president demands alliance support and a, quote, good number of missiles before, quote, meeting with the killers. Dramaticus, Zelensky's looking for a peace deal that makes him a winner. Putin can see this. The Kremlin can see this. I think any reader of history can see this. What will he take? What's enough for him to stop the shooting? Good day to you.
Good day, Gaius. Good evening. It's not up to him. What will he accept? He'll be told what to accept. And ultimately, that bottom line will be from the next president of the United States. And it may be a tough message. I can't see Zelensky continuing on as the leader of Ukraine in any kind of negotiated settlement. And he is desperate to find some kind of denouement that will allow him to represent that he fought heroically, did as much as any man could do, any stainless hero, and therefore he should receive the rewards of someone who sees himself at the level of national savior, for example, comparable to Winston Churchill. And all of that is oozing between the lines of his demarche. But I can't see that any of that is going to be realized. Right now, there's a lot of grandstanding going on. And I'm not sure how that continues much longer. The big crux of any settlement is what has happened to Ukraine in the wake and in the process of this war. And the level of casualties, needless casualties, because it's a needless war, is so high that it rivals that of the French in World War I on a per capita basis. All of that's been hidden because Ukraine has been so adamant about not releasing any casualty figures. And when it becomes clear that the nation has been driven into the ground and that its young men have been, well, its young men and its older and old men have just been wiped out by the war, and all of those who've left and fled abroad or deserted, and there are more and more of those now, or taken prisoner, and there are more and more of them. All of that is a token of a hollowed out society. So it's hard to see how Zelensky can survive all of that coming out. And as far as I'm concerned, it's hard to see Western alliance politics surviving with the imminence, potentially, of a new German government and a new French government, both of which are sending elites crying to the heavens in lamentation. They will, they're presiding over crumbling countries. And so it's a matter of how the U.S. manages to wrap this up in a way that isn't too shameful. And one of the levers that Mr. Trump has is to raise this terrible specter of casualties and of the dead, to, and the fact that those are the token of a policy that led to the destruction of a European country. And we didn't simply preside over it. We orchestrated it. We funded it. We strong-armed people. We encouraged Zelensky to impress people, men in their 60s even, into service in which they would die within days of being dumped on the front lines. All of this is something so awful in what it says about the United States, and especially of a United States whose entire mythic identity is built around the Redeemer Nation and of the U.S. saving good people from evil around the world. Now it's going to be the opposite. And the one thing that is available to Mr. Trump is the bully pulpit where he can lay all of this out and say, well, look, this last administration set up, it nurtured, it groomed, it curated a war that has destroyed an entire nation and an entire people. And we're not submitting, we're not allowing Russia victory. We are leaving on the basis of ending this terrible thing. Now, it's probable that he will do something different, but that option is available to him as a means of extracting the U.S. from the war. But the ramifications of the war are going to be felt as tremors throughout the alliance for all of the reasons that I've adumbrated. It is a disastrous war, and you can only fight so many disastrous wars. And the fact that Americans haven't died or died in relatively small numbers and not acknowledged, it doesn't matter, especially if we suborned an entire nation to sacrifice itself, and to sacrifice itself for what? So in many ways, ending the war permanently in the kind of settlement that Mr. Putin demands would be a mercy for Ukraine and for us, and I think in many ways for Europe, and it would end this whole horror show. And what the current administration and a lot of the firebrands who hope to be in the new Trump administration are pushing is some kind of face-saving settlement that will allow Ukraine to be rearmed and all of its very young men 18, even below, will be marshaled into a new army, which can then be sacrificed some years down the road in another war. It's just too horrible to contemplate.
And what does the deal look like then? We have Putin saying, Donbass, no NATO, EU can rebuild. Is that the deal?
I think the negotiating hinge will be over how much Russia takes. And I think Putin has laid out a minimum.
Kherson, Zaporizhia, Luhansk, Donetsk.
The entire oblast, and there's plenty that is still in Ukraine.
But no NATO is critical to the demand.
No NATO is critical, and demilitarization.
Zelensky knows that, and he's saying it's necessary for our survival. Who's he talking about? His survival?
Yes, his survival. And his survival.
Does Biden take this deal, or does Trump, do we wait for Trump to take the deal from Putin?
I don't think Biden has the mental engagement at this point or the, you know, crin, as the French would say, the guts, to try and snatch something away from the incoming president. He could try, but I don't think Putin would go along. The kind of settlement that Zelensky wants, and that the current democratic cabal has said would be acceptable, is no settlement at all. It's a truce.
It's a reload. They're reloading. Yes, what he wants.
Yeah, exactly. And they did that once before. After 2014, we armed them to the teeth and they went to war. Now we're going to do it again. That's our proposition. I don't think that's going to fly. And the fact that Russia is winning and that the Ukrainian forces are melting away now, this is the moment when Putin, with all the forces at his disposal, can try to wrap things up in a sort of final stage of the war. And there isn't a thing we can do about that. All of our attempts to give missiles to strike deep inside of Russia have failed. And more than that, distracting efforts to get the Russians...
failure, I accept. Yes, I'm trying to find what the deal is. Now, I tell a story. January 20th, 1981, Ronald Reagan is sworn in as President of the United States. He steps to the podium to deliver his inaugural address. 3 minutes into the address, the news comes that the hostages have been put on the airplane in Tehran and are flying out of the country. 3 minutes into his presidency. Are we going to see that?
And Trump would aspire to that as well. But given the nature of the dynamic right now, Mr. Trump would have to accede to most of Putin's demands. And the face-saving element would be to say, well, we don't have to give Mr. Putin Odessa and Kharkov. Those can remain Ukrainian. And then there's no NATO and a demilitarization. If that is agreed to, we'll have a settlement immediately. But all this talk of a frozen conflict is...
No, it's not going to happen. So what we have here is they have the model of 1981. Maybe they'll do it, maybe they won't. And you believe that Mr. Biden, Tiberius, is incapable of cutting a similar deal.
He can't cut a deal unless the other party agrees, and the other party is not going to agree.
Well, he could give them everything, but he won't do it.
Is that no, true? No. He can't do that, and even Biden couldn't. It's a bridge too far.
Germanicus and Gaius debating the end of the beginning of the transformation of Ukraine into what it was to begin with, which is pieces of different empires.
A borderland.
Yeah, Romanov, Hohenzollern, even the elements of the Ottoman.
Yes.
Once upon a time. More Poland than Ukraine. And we turn to a much messier situation. We Romans, 2,000 years, we've watched the Middle East. There's no solving it. It's just process. When we come back, Assad, where are you? Gaius, Germanicus, Londinium, 91 AD. It's winter coming on. And off to the 21st century. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.